And if you'd like to open your Bible on those verses that Joan read to us, that's Mark chapter 8, page 1011, starting at verse 1 through to verse 21. So before we come to look at those words, let's just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Father, as we come now to look at your word, we ask that you will speak to each one of us in your own special way, that we may hear you and that we may understand. For we ask this in your name. Amen. You'll find it helpful to keep your Bibles open on that page and over the page, just because it's quite a lot of content this morning to get through. I'll get through it as quickly as I can and hopefully as clearly as I can. So we're continuing in our series on Mark, and today we come to a passage that seems almost a repeat of an earlier passage back in Mark 6. There, we were studying the feeding of the 5,000, and now we come to a very similar miracle, the feeding of 4,000. And you may wonder, why did Jesus do this miracle twice? And why did God choose to have Mark record both of them? If the whole point was that Jesus is able to feed many people with just a few loaves of bread and fish, didn't he already make that point when he fed 5,000? And besides, although feeding 4,000 is pretty good, it's not quite as impressive as feeding 5,000. 4,000 seems then almost an anticlimactic amount compared to the 5,000. So, what is the point? These are some of the questions that we'll be exploring as we study this passage this morning. So, why did Jesus use his miraculous powers? Certainly not to show off. In fact, we have seen Jesus repeatedly instructing people not to tell others about his miracles. Jesus also never used his miracles to benefit himself, not once. He refused to make bread for himself when he was hungry in the wilderness, and he refused to call on God's angels to rescue him at the cross. Jesus did do miracles, but in order to help other people, as evidenced by his healing and feeding miracles. In fact, all that Jesus did, he did for others, even at great cost to himself. But although Jesus did miracles out of love and compassion for other people, that was not his only reason. Jesus' miracles have a deeper meaning. So when we look at a miracle, like the feeding here this morning of the 4,000, yes, we do want to be amazed at Jesus' awesome power to perform such a miracle. But we also want to look for the deeper meaning, the meaning that Jesus is trying to teach us through this miracle. And so, when we read this passage, right after reading the feeding of the 5,000 back in chapter 6, you may well think, repeat, rerun. I hate reruns. I didn't know God did reruns. Yes. Yes, God does do reruns. And thank God he does. God can do the same miracle as many times as he wants, and that's a good thing. But, you're right, this passage does contain many parallels to the first feeding. And Mark brings that out for us in the very first verse when he says, "During those days, another large crowd gathered." Mark wants us to think back to that incident. In fact, he purposely structures his retelling of this incident to show how similar it is to the first, so that we can learn many of the same lessons as we did from the first. The fact that God has compassion on all people, that when God asks you to do something, you can do it, and the fact that you can do anything with God. God has no limits. He is not confined by our lack of resources. But why, we may ask, did Jesus do this miracle twice? And what was he trying to teach the disciples and us in the process? Well, on the most basic level, one reason Jesus did the miracle twice is that there was a real need on the part of the people. Twice. People were hungry and they needed to be fed. At the same time, Jesus was also trying to build the faith of the disciples. I wonder, does anyone else think it strange that the disciples were wondering what to do in this situation when they had just been through it a short time before with the crowd of 5,000? But that is what Mark's gospel is all about, demonstrating that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so Jesus, the Son of God, does what only God can do. He refused to provide bread for himself when he was in the wilderness, but he will feed the multitude in this remote place. The disciples ask, "Where can we get bread to feed these people?" And you can just imagine Jesus patiently answering them. "How many loaves do you have?" "Okay, let's have all the people sit down." The disciples are in rerun territory. We shouldn't be too hard on the disciples here, because how many times has God provided for us in the past? And we still have trouble trusting him for whatever we're going through in the present. We need to remember that God can do the same miracle twice, and that he who provided in the past can and will also provide in the present. So that's the first part. We move on to a slightly different part in the next text. Starting at verse 11, it's an ominous message here. Here, the Pharisees challenge Jesus, testing him, they think, by asking him for a sign from heaven. But he simply sighs deeply. "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth. No sign will be given." Here, we have Jesus performing all these miracles, but the Pharisees come to him and ask for a sign from heaven to authenticate his words. Sadly, some people are never satisfied. In one sense, all of Jesus' miracles were signs. They were signs that the kingdom of God had drawn near in his person, and that God had sent Jesus and was indeed working through him. That is the deeper meaning to all the miracles. But again, some people will never be satisfied, no matter how many signs God gives them. Earlier on, the Pharisees had attributed Jesus' miracles to the power of Satan, Now, here we see them asking for some direct sign from God in heaven. But they were asking in rebellion and unbelief, and Jesus refused to give it to them. He simply sighed deeply. And as I said, his words, why? Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? But then, still in that teaching mode, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Well, you don't blame these disciples because you can almost feel like perhaps we ourselves are somewhat confused. They have no idea what Jesus is talking about. They assume it must be something to do with the fact that they forgot to bring bread with them. But Jesus isn't talking about literal bread here. When Jesus talks about the yeast of the Pharisees, he's talking symbolically. When used as a symbol in the Bible, yeast is almost always used negatively as a symbol of evil or an evil influence. You might recall that when the Israelites left Egypt, they didn't have time to leaven the bread. And even today, when Jews celebrate the Passover, one of their customs is to remove all the yeast from the house. And so the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod had to do with their unbelieving rejection of Jesus, as evidenced by their asking Jesus for a sign instead of believing in him on the basis of his teaching, his healing the blind, sick, deaf, raising the dead, casting out demons. Miracles. Herod hadn't actually asked yet for a sign, but he would later on at that time of Jesus' crucifixion. People today who demand that God gives them a sign to believe are in a similar situation. God already gave the most important sign of all. He sent his Son into the world who preached the kingdom of God and demonstrated the truth of his word through his miracles, especially the miracle of his own resurrection from the dead. That was the ultimate proof of Jesus' identity and mission. You don't need to ask God for a sign. He's already given it. Jesus has come into the world. Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead. What more do you want? What more do you need? In our final section, Jesus points the disciples to the deeper meaning of his miracles. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asks them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, or ears that fail to hear? And don't you remember? Why are you talking about bread? All the disciples can think about was that they didn't bring enough bread with them in the boat. Jesus is saying, it's not about the bread. It never was about the bread. Jesus' miracles are not miracles for miracles' sake, but they have a deeper meaning. And Jesus asks the disciples this series of questions in order to get them to probe deeper. So Some people have tried to attach symbolic significance to the number of basketfuls of leftovers in each of the feedings. They say that the 12 basketfuls of leftovers in the first feeding represents the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 7 basketfuls of leftovers in the second feeding represents the fullness of the Gentiles. And so the 2 feedings represent the gospel going first to Israel and then to the nations. Is that what Jesus is getting at here? I don't know. I'm not that smart. But I think there is a clearer meaning that we can get from this passage, a deeper meaning. And this deeper meaning is that this miracle, as with all Jesus' miracles, point to him as Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus does what only God can do. He continues to provide bread for the people in the wilderness, just as God provided manna for the Israelites. And the disciples, who are worried about only having 1 loaf of bread, well, for them and for us, the key word is remember. Jesus says, "Don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they answered. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 7, they answered. He says to them, "Do you still not understand?" Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he has done in the past, he will continue to do in the present and in the future. And so if Jesus has saved you, if he has brought you to God and provided all that you needed in the past, you needn't worry about the future. Jesus fed the multitude twice. God provided for an entire nation in the wilderness for 40 years. And God can take care of you and me. In conclusion, we need never be anxious about God's provision. Nor must we test God either, effectively asking for signs by assuming that God's provision must be given in some way predetermined by us. And finally, we need to have faith. Faith and trust in Jesus and in his promises on the basis of belief in who he has already shown himself to be. Remember, every step of faith is like learning to walk all over again. If only we remember what God has done for us in the past, then we would be better able to understand what God is trying to do for us right now.